From coast to coast, all across the United States and Canada, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We have a very exciting show on tap. In just a few moments, we're going to be speaking to the writer, director, and producer of A Mormon President. And this, of course, is our feature all this month, a DVD available for your ongoing support of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But before we get to that and to your questions, I want to address a flurry of emails that I have been receiving over the last couple of days. And I'd like to be very circumspect in how I use my words. I'm being asked over and over again whether I could vote for a Mormon. And let me be direct in response to that question. Of course, I could vote for a Mormon. If a Mormon is the best person available, that is who I could and should vote for. I'm also being asked why I don't wait to speak about Mormonism until after the election. And quite frankly, I'm sure I could be asked that question after the election as well. But I am not being guided by pragmatic considerations. The Mormon Church has never had more credibility than it has at this very moment in history. Indeed, the very moment in which I am now speaking. I am not serving the city of man. My mandate is to serve the city of God. And by the way, I am as critical of the spiritual underpinnings of Mormonism as I am critical of the spiritual terrorism that I have been watching over the last few days. Never forget that President Barack Obama has redefined marriage. And if people of the same sex can legally marry one another, we lose the rational basis for barring polygamy, group marriage, incest. If the state redefines marriage, we can expect to see the collapse of marriage as a public institution. And if that sounds far-fetched, just take a trip to the land of my birth, where the Dutch today have a hard time figuring out why marriage is even relevant. Enshrining a false definition of marriage will inevitably harm society. And to that end, we have a feature article in the Christian Research Journal by Jay Richards. It's the current research journal. So if you haven't subscribed, you want to do that right away. In addition to a redefinition of marriage, we have a direct frontal assault on life. And make no mistake, the Democratic platform supports all abortion, including partial birth abortion, where forceps grab the feet of a tiny baby, where the body is pulled downward until just the head remains in the cervix, where the baby is grabbed by the nape of the neck and the back of the skull is pierced with a scissor, where a cannula is inserted and the brain matter sucked out. And remember, the baby, the live baby, has not been specifically anesthetized. And we should also recall that President Clinton, who was the star of the Democratic Convention yesterday, signed into law the National Institute of Health Revitalization Act, and as a result of that act, it became legal not only to abort, but to carve up babies and use them for fetal tissue research. Make no mistake, choice advocates like Obama and Clinton, like Congress and the courts, are not friends of preborn children. And I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as well that there is a direct assault on the veracity of the Bible. So for those that don't think I'm being even-handed, read my book, Has God Spoken?, where I quote Barack Obama saying, which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is all right and eating shellfish is an abomination? How about Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department could survive its application? Look, the implication is hard to mistake. No God worthy of worship would teach that slavery is all right. No parent in their right mind would stone a child who strays away from the faith. Calling consumption of shellfish an abomination, well, that's just plain silly. And the Sermon on the Mount, well, way too radical. To quote Obama, to base our policy making on such commitments would be a dangerous thing. Of course, from my perspective, the real danger is his failure to apprehend the language of the Bible. Now, here's the bottom line. I can't tell you who to vote for, nor would I. But I can tell you that it is your duty to vote, and that it is your duty to carefully consider character, and then the issues like life and marriage and political platforms, and even the proper role of government. But remember, above all else, you are first and foremost a citizen of the city of God. And as such, you dare not abdicate your responsibility to equip yourself to use every opportunity, including this election cycle, to communicate the truth and love and life that only the Christ of Christianity can bring to the human heart. So again, I'm not being driven by pragmatic considerations. I am, however, being driven by a commission and a calling to the city of God, its principles made relevant in our epoch of time. Joining me now is the writer-director an executive producer of A Mormon President, Adam Christing, who has been involved in putting something together that I think is significant, as I just mentioned, for this exact time. You can't understand the challenge facing Romney until you know the untold story of Joseph Smith and the Mormon quest for the White House. Few people in American history have been as loved or hated as the Mormon prophet who was assassinated by an angry mob after announcing his run for U.S. president in 1844. In this DVD, again, this is our offer, you will see dramatic reenactments and interviews with top historical experts. And you will see an exploration of the life and death of the Mormon leader who built the largest American-born religion in the world. Adam Christing joins me now on air. Good to have you.
Great to be on with you, Hank. Thanks.
I want to get to your motivation for making this film to begin with.
Yeah, well, you know, as a child, I grew up in a church. People don't know that there are actually many splinter groups of Mormonism. I grew up in the second largest Mormon sect called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it started for me when I was arguing with my Utah Mormon friend about which of our Mormon churches was the one true church. And as I started to investigate that in my high school days, I became very disillusioned with Joseph Smith as a prophet. But my fascination with him remained, and I've been studying about his life for many, many years. And what I discovered, Hank, was that there were two kinds of films about him: either hit pieces that made him just look like a monster, or there were puff pieces that made him, you know, didn't talk about his polygamy or his political aspirations and made it seem like suddenly out of the blue people wanted to kill him for no reason at all. So my goal was to make the most accurate movie I could about the life and death of Joseph Smith, and let multiple voices speak.
A lot of people, as I mentioned in the prologue to this this broadcast today, a lot of people are asking, why would we discuss Mormonism at this particular time? A lot of people thinking that if we do, perhaps we're going to jettison in some significant way the attempt for a Mormon to become president of the United States. And I've oftentimes said that our calling is not a political calling. Our calling is a spiritual calling. We serve the city of God, not the city of man. What would you say?
Yeah, I really like your thinking on that. I don't think truth should be put to any kind of timetable. And what we tried to do with this film was just to really get at who was this guy and is it relevant for today? And it certainly is relevant, not just because we have a Mormon running for the White House, but because there are millions of people who are fascinated, interested, and in many cases joining the Mormon movement.
And of course, this is an opportunity to equip ourselves to use the deviations of Mormonism, and there is no question in my mind whatsoever that Mormonism deviates from the historic Christian faith. And I've demonstrated this in a lot of different venues, including the Bible Answer Man broadcast, speaking engagements, and two resources that we're augmenting A Mormon President, the DVD, with my booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, and then also The Mormon Mirage Flip Chart, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage, a 4x6 laminated flip chart. All three resources we are making available. You can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Quick question, what motivated Joseph Smith to run for president?
Well, Joseph Smith really saw himself, Hank, as God's right-hand man. In fact, his nickname was the Mormon Muhammad, even in his own day. He had his own army. He was the mayor of a town that was as large as the city of Chicago at the time. So he was pretty open that he was trying to establish a theocracy. He called it a demo theocracy. And as you've probably noticed in the DVD, there's a pretty shocking moment that actually happened in history. And that was the moment when his leaders crowned him king over the political kingdom of God on earth. And so for him, running for president was not separate from his goals or visions that he believed God was giving him for America.
One of the things I found fascinating in the DVD is the discussion and reenactment of the Mormon militia, which, when we think about it in terms of scale, it was about a third the size of the U.S. military.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it's interesting. I've spoken with Mormon missionaries, for example, who are completely unaware that Joseph Smith ran for president, oftentimes unaware that he had multiple wives. But it's very relevant today because some of the same criticisms that Joseph Smith faced when he was running for president, I call it the three P's, Hank, polygamy, plurality of gods, and politics, are still very relevant. You know, we have a Mormon running for the White House now. The Mormon Church still accepts Smith's teaching of plurality of gods. And though the big church, the big Mormon Church, does not practice polygamy today, if you were married to a woman in the Mormon temple, Hank, and she were to pass away, you could marry a second wife in the Mormon temple, and you would be sealed to both women for eternity. So you could say that there's still a form of celestial polygamy being practiced today.
One of the things few people know is how many wives Brigham Young and the founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, actually had. We're going to be talking about that and much more as the broadcast continues, talking to Adam Christing. He's the writer-director, executive producer of A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Do remember, I'll send you a special bonus, my signed booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, and my memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage flip chart for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I want you to be informed and equipped to use the current political discussion as a springboard to share the gospel as you point out the discrepancies between Mormonism and Christianity. Be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The life of Joseph Smith has a lot to teach us about the church he founded, and with Mormonism in the spotlight today, we have an amazing opportunity to share the truth if we're equipped. We'll send you the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, in appreciation for your ministry support today. For your gift of $100 or more, you'll receive two additional resources explaining the theological gulf between Mormonism and Christianity. Please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity, the memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage flip chart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Did the prophet Daniel predict a seven-year Great Tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes. But the next question is, when did or when will this Great Tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column. Other topics include surmounting cultural barriers and presenting the gospel to Muslims, defending Christianity in the marketplace of ideas like the Apostle Paul, addressing the emotional problem of evil, evolution's Achilles heel, Kierkegaard and U2 on authentic love, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. The presidential race has thrown a spotlight on Mormonism, providing many opportunities to share the gospel as you point out the discrepancies between it and biblical Christianity. Equip yourself with the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, our gift in appreciation for your ministry support today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources explaining what everyone should know about Mormonism. Please partner with us. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. And thank you. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we're talking about our feature DVD all this month, A Mormon President, and of course talking to Adam Christing, who's the writer, director, and executive producer of the DVD. If you think back to 1823, there is the supposed visit of the angel Moroni to a young boy named Joseph Smith, and then Moroni divulged the location of some golden plates on which were inscribed a record of God's dealing with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas. And these plates supposedly contained the fullness of the everlasting gospel. These plates were ultimately abridged by Moroni and his father Mormon 1,400 years earlier and written in what Smith claimed to be Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. Conveniently, Smith found, along with the plates, some eyeglasses which he used to translate the writing into English. And of course, the result has been a new revelation called the Book of Mormon and a new religion called Mormonism. And today, many Mormons are saying that what they believe and what historic Christianity believes are not altogether different. Adam, as we talk about that very subject, one of the things that comes to mind for me is how did Joseph Smith gain so much traction in the 19th century?
Well, I had one scholar, Hank, say that if you were to meet Joseph Smith, it would be like meeting someone with the charisma of Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan combined, that you might hear a preacher preach a sermon, but Joseph Smith could convert you with a handshake. So he was so charismatic and so passionate. And, you know, you described me as a writer, director, producer. Joseph Smith was claimed to be author, translator, a prophet, running for president, mayor of a city, General Joseph Smith, head of a militia, prophet, seer, revelator. I mean, this guy wore many, many hats, and I think it was because his personality was gigantic.
You know, you mentioned in the other segment, the first segment of the broadcast today, this whole principle of plural marriage. Talk for a moment about Joseph Smith's conclusion that God would restore what he called the Old Testament practice of polygamy.
Yeah, you just said a key word. For people to really understand Mormonism, it's the word you just used, and that's restore. People have heard of reformation, but in Mormonism, it's about restoration. So the Mormon belief is that all of God's authority was lost on earth, and that through Joseph Smith, not only did he restore the one true church, but he wanted to restore the entire kingdom of God. And so the Mormon movement, especially in Joseph Smith's day, was not just about church, but it was about the kingdom of God. And you notice they're called the Church of Latter-day Saints because Joseph Smith believed that he was living in the last days and that literally God would set up his kingdom on earth in Independence, Missouri, where Christ would return.
Another question in this respect regarding Emma Smith's reaction to the alleged revelation of the principle of plural marriage. What was her reaction as depicted in the DVD?
Yeah, that was a real astonishing thing we discovered. It was just the amazing human being that this woman, Emma Smith, was, because she loved her husband, Joseph, and I think she believed in his calling as a prophet. But as you can imagine, if you're a husband or wife, the idea that you would share your spouse, in Joseph Smith's case, with over 30, at least 33 women, she could not stomach that. And so we have on record scholars, a scholar from the Mormon History Association, saying that she contemplated suicide. She was so depressed about it. At one point, she basically said, either those girls go or I go. And so at one point, Joseph Smith shook hands with a couple of the young girls he had married and said, that's over with. I'm going with Emma. But within a matter of weeks, he was marrying more women.
And the youngest of these women, I think, was, if I recall, age 14. And several of the women were married to men who were still alive.
That's right. And to understand that, you need to get the idea that Joseph Smith felt like there were earthly laws and heavenly laws. And because he was a prophet who spoke for God, in fact, he told Nancy Rigdon, who I believe was, I think she was 19 years old, he gave her a letter after she said no to his marriage proposal. And the letter essentially said that some things are right in some circumstances and they're not right in other circumstances. And what he was trying to say is, just like in the Old Testament, there's polygamy. Well, polygamy can come back and make a comeback. And, of course, he had to keep this very secret because polygamy then, as it is now, is illegal.
Are you familiar with a prophecy that's called or oftentimes dubbed the White Horse Prophecy, the idea that at the end the Constitution will hang by a thread and a Mormon will ride in on a white horse and save the Constitution?
Yes, I think there's a lot of evidence that Joseph Smith did utter a prophecy like that. We did not go into that much in the DVD because he never put that in writing. But you have to keep in mind, if you lived with Joseph Smith, almost everything he saw and everybody he met, he connected to some kind of prophecy. So he'd be walking through, you know, the fields in Missouri, and he would say, "Hey, Hank, you see that stone over there? That's where Cain killed Abel. And you see these trees over here? That's where Noah blessed his posterity." And so he really electrified people with the sense that they were living in biblical times. And so I do think he made a prophecy that basically the Mormons would save the day, that the Constitution would be hanging by a thread. And I'm sure he thought that he was part of that prophecy. You know, this is a guy who inserted his own name into the book of Genesis.
Yeah, it's interesting because he also believed that the Garden of Eden was located in western Missouri, as you allude to, that Adam would return to the state of Missouri to prepare the way for the millennium, and claimed to have discerned that a pile of rocks he stumbled upon, and I think you're alluding to that as well, were the remains of an altar Adam had built with his own hands in, I guess it was, Davies County.
Yes, and so when we say, and one of the scholars on the Mormon President DVD says, he Americanized the Judeo-Christian idea. So Jerusalem becomes Missouri, Zion becomes America, and this makes his run for president especially interesting because it's not just political, but it's also very spiritual. And you know what I think? I think all this goes back in many ways to his parents because his mom was very religious, was really into church as he grew up. His dad was into magic. His dad was into folk magic and seer stones and treasure seeking. And so I believe this young man, Joseph, combined his parents, his mom's love for church and his dad's love for magic and hidden plates, and he created a religion that combined both those elements.
Let's take a few calls. Judith, she's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, you're on with Adam and myself.
Yes. I think if you are obligated to do a true Christian show, you should also do the Muslim Quran and how they want to get rid of the Christians and the Jews. And surely you are, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you are hurting Mitt Romney's campaign with all of these. You can table this or bring on at least the Muslim religion in the Quran also, because it is said that Obama is a Muslim.
Okay, but I think what's important here, Judith, and I'll let Adam chime in as well, but I think what's important is if you have listened to the Bible Answer Man broadcast for any period of time, you know that I've spoken out. In fact, I did at the opening of this show. I spoke out about the redefinition of marriage, the direct frontal assault on life, the direct assault on the veracity of the Bible. So this is not one-sided. This is using those issues that are dominant in the news as a result of the presidential election as an opportunity to equip God's people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. But what about this point, Adam, that Judith brings up with respect to the timetable? Why not simply table this for the time being and talk about it after the election?
Well, yeah, you know, I can tell you personally that I've been fascinated with Joseph Smith long before I ever heard the name Mitt Romney. In fact, I wanted to make this documentary before I even knew about Mitt Romney. Of course, it heightened the media interest in the topic. And I do want to say that this particular DVD, A Mormon President, does not tell anybody how to vote. It's just more an exploration of history. And just as I think it's important that we know about Obama's roots, it's important that we know about Romney's roots. I personally am not voting for a pastor-in-chief, and so I may be open to voting for Mitt Romney, but that doesn't mean that I can't have concerns about Mormonism. I might be able to vote for a Mormon, but it's still legitimate to examine and even criticize Mormonism.
Does it make sense to you, Judith?
Yes, but I think we need to do the Quran also. I think we need to do the other side because that is before us. A lot of the states want are going to have Sharia law.
And well, you know, here's the thing, Judith. I will accept this point, and I don't want to use sophistry or sloppy journalism or even script torture in anything that I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I certainly don't want to use sensationalism, but your point is well taken, at least at one juncture, and that is, I think that it is right to criticize Islam, and certainly I do that on the Bible Answer Man broadcast all the time. The reason for that, again, is not because I don't like those who are enslaved by a false religion, but rather because I want to reach them with the love and truth and life that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. Fair enough?
That is true, but you need to be also concerned about the Muslim faith and the Quran, because there are many people in our country that are flooding in that still have their God. They still pray to Allah, and they have overtaken Europe. We need to be concerned about this because they want to take over the United States as well.
Well, I appreciate your perspective, appreciate your call. Of course, that is essentially what I just said, that I do deal with Islam. But again, we want to make sure that when we deal with anything, that we do it from the perspective of truth. We are called to do what we do because truth matters. And for convenience sake, we cannot obfuscate when it comes to truth. We cannot shade the truth. We are to be an example when it comes to truth. For your gift of $100 or more, remember, I'll send you not only the DVD that we're talking about on this broadcast, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, but we'll also send you a special bonus, my signed booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, and my memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage flip chart. You can check all of that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As well, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And yes, we will talk about Islam on a future edition of Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You can learn a lot about a religion by studying its founder, and when we study Joseph Smith, his difference from Jesus Christ couldn't be more striking. When you partner with us in ministry through a gift today, we'll send you the revealing DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources exposing Mormonism's theological deviations from Christianity. Get equipped. go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth in love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Few people know the story of Joseph Smith's quest to be our first Mormon president, or the secrets behind his rise to power. Learn the truth with the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. Our gift to you when you support more Bible Answer Man broadcasts with your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources sharing the truth of Mormon theology. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're talking today about the fascinating life and death of the Mormon leader who built the largest American-born religion in the world, and a DVD, which is titled A Mormon President. It explores whether or not the Mormon church is just like any other Christian church, explores where polygamy came from with respect to Mormonism, and whether or not Mormons still practice it in some sense today, why millions of evangelical Christians are opposed to Mormonism, and then this question, which I want to pose in just a second, is there an anti-Mormon bias in America? Of course, we're talking to someone who has a tremendous impact through a DVD, The writer, director, and executive producer of A Mormon President, Adam Christing. I want to pose that question to you, Adam. What about this notion that there might be an anti-Mormon bias in America? What's your take on that?
Well, the historical take is that absolutely there has been anti-Mormon, beyond sentiment, anti-Mormon actions in the history of America. I'll just tell you quickly, in 1838, there was a governor in Missouri, Governor Boggs, and this is hard to believe, but this really happened. He ordered an extermination order that made it legal to drive Mormons out of the state and even to kill them. And in October of 1838, there was a small group of Mormons who were massacred. And so when Mormons talk about being persecuted, it's not all made up. At the same time, I want to say, if you are critical of Mormonism with a Mormon friend or neighbor, they are often quick to play the persecution card and to say, oh, you're persecuting me. And so I think we need to separate historical events from current day dialogue. You know, to examine someone's doctrine is not to persecute them.
Well said. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Walter, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WPJL. Hi, Walter.
Hey, Hank. How are you this evening?
Doing well, thank you.
Yes, sir. It's always a pleasure to listen to your show. I'm certainly a fan.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hank, I wanted to mention to you though. I'm reminded of, I listened to you some time back, and you were speaking about this whole issue of Mormonism with relationship to the presidency. And initially, I remember it seemed like you had a sort of a conflict about the whole issue of moving in the direction of voting for Mitt Romney. It's like initially I could play back in my mind where you weren't decisive about going in that route. And I'm just wondering if at this time you're formally saying that you would endorse Mitt Romney as a president, because it just from listening to the show today, it sounds like that's the direction that you're going.
Well, I cannot endorse anyone for president. I'm president of a research institute that's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It is not my position as president of the Christian Research Institute to endorse any candidate. What I can do, however, is help you think critically about the salient issues that we are faced with. And I can also say that if, in fact, a Mormon were the best choice available, that I could vote for a Mormon. And I think, Adam, that you've contextualized that as well, but I think it bears repeating.
Yeah, my comment might be to think of Thomas Jefferson as an example. Many people, myself included, would think he was an outstanding president. That doesn't mean that I agree with his views on Christ. He did not believe that Jesus was divine. And just like the Mormon religion adds to the Bible, Thomas Jefferson chopped the New Testament up and took the miracles out. And so I could have conceivably voted for Jefferson, but I would have stood up and said, I don't like what you're doing to the Bible.
Well said. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Carrie, listening in Mississippi on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Hank. My concern is not whether we have so much Muslim or Mormon president, but I am a little concerned about the nature of Islam and how you would address that. The Mormons, I understand we love them and we want them one to Christ, but I am so concerned about Islam because the Mormons are not trying to kill us, but the Muslims are, and we don't have this president addressing that. And am I wrong in thinking that?
Well, I think you're perhaps wrong in overstating that, or stating that in a generalized sense, the Muslims are out to kill us. Remember, there's radical Islam, but not all people who are involved in Islam are involved in radical Islam. So I think what's important is that we rightly communicate what we communicate, and that we rightly take the deviations of Islam, and just as we are doing so with Mormonism, use those deviations as springboards or opportunities to share Christ's love and grace and peace. I think the real danger is to set up a we-they-siege mentality against the world, or a we they siege mentality against Mormonism or Muslims. What we need to do is become equipped to use deviations as opportunity to reach real flesh and blood people. Adam, your comments.
I think it's a great comment. You know, tonight in my own personal life, I'm going to be playing basketball at a local Mormon church. And so I'm not exaggerating when I say my dear, dear friends are Mormon. And so we can laugh and joke and talk. I think the key is relationships. But I think it's also important that we do stand for truth. And what I tried to do with this film, A Mormon President, is by letting Mormons speak, by letting ex-Mormons speak, by having the very top scholars, like from the Smithsonian, speak, is wanted to explore who was Joseph Smith and does it matter what he taught? And we find out that he taught very different things about who God is. I heard one theologian, Hank, say Christianity teaches that God became man, and Mormonism teaches that men can become gods. And so that's a very big difference.
You know, when you sent me this DVD, I thought, whoa, this is the last thing I want to tackle at this particular stage. But then I watched the DVD, and what I was struck by is the even-handedness of the DVD. It's very informational. I think it's helpful in equipping Christians, but it isn't, as you put it, a hit piece.
No, not at all. In fact, there have been some Christians who've watched it and thought, wow, is this pro-Mormon? And of course, Mormons have watched it and thought, is this anti-Mormon? So maybe I've offended everyone.
And then you really can't win. One of the things I want to mention is that we have an article that's available online at equip.org, and it directly addresses a question that I know is in the minds of literally thousands of listeners. I have received, as I mentioned at the opening of the broadcast, a flurry of emails in this regard. But here's the question it addresses. Is it permissible for a Christian to vote for a Mormon? It's written by Francis Beckwith. I think it is a very significant piece, and you can access it at equip.org. But your answer to that question, Adam, once again, is?
Well, the Scripture does not tell us how to vote or who to vote for. It gives us principles, and one of those principles is whatever is not of faith is of sin. And so I think our real job is to be students of history and students of our culture, and then have a clear conscience when we go into that voting booth.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nick. He's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah, KUTR. Hi, Nick. You're on with Adam.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Great. Enjoying your program. I was just wanting to comment. You were talking about, or Adam was, about Lilburn Boggs, the governor of Missouri, issuing the extermination order against the LDS people in 1838. And the fact of the matter is, the word extermination was first used by a Mormon, and that would have been Sidney Rigdon. And he had a fiery speech on the 4th of July in 1838, sometimes called the Salt Sermon, wherein he advised Mormons to take up and exterminate anybody that was causing them problems. So, you know, I know Mormons have been persecuted, but they brought a lot of it on themselves.
Well, yeah, let me comment on that. We actually cover that in quite depth in the film. He is correct. Sidney Rigdon, who was Joseph Smith's right-hand preacher, was the first to use that language. He said it'll be a war of extermination, us versus them. And that goes back to what you said earlier, Hank. It's very dangerous when we have kind of an us versus them mindset. But that was happening. And keep in mind, when Mormons arrived in Missouri, they were telling people, God gave us this land, and you better get off of it. And you'll notice that in Mormon language, they speak of non-Mormons as Gentiles, which would imply that they're, you know, God's saints. And it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So there is this sense that Mormons feel that they are God's chosen people. But, of course, we could say that about many other groups that claim exclusively to be, you know, we are God's, we're it. Reverend Moon said that he was the Messiah, and I noticed he did not rise from the dead, so I don't put much faith in that.
Let's see if we can sneak in one more call. Mike, he's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, can you hear me, Hank?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Hank?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate the broadcast. I enjoy my drive home, and I get to listen to you.
Thank
well,
you.
I know I'm running up against the hour, so I'll try and be quick. I came in late, and heard you guys talking a little bit about Joseph Smith and polygamy. I've actually been kind of studying the topic a little bit and trying to look for the kind of the reference material that you guys have to kind of study a little bit further, because I know there's obviously two sides of the coin where some people say that Joseph Smith wasn't the kind of founder of polygamy. It was, the other leader, and where others would say that it is Joseph Smith. And I'm just trying to kind of study that a little bit further, and I'll let you guys speak.
Thanks, Mike. Adam?
Yeah, you know, very little happens in Mormon history that doesn't go back to Joseph Smith, and polygamy is one of those things. And I grew up in the reorganized Mormon church, which claimed that Joseph Smith was not a polygamist, and that's just simply not the case. He married 33 women. 11 of them were married to other men. He practiced this very privately, very secretly, and it wasn't until a man who was sort of the Martin Luther of Mormonism, William Law, he printed a newspaper called The Expositor, because he wanted to expose Smith specifically about polygamy. When William Law printed that newspaper, Joseph Smith made a very fatal mistake and had that printing press destroyed. And that was one of the things, along with him running for president, that really triggered his assassination.
We're going to have to leave it at that, because we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Adam, thank you so much. We'll have you back on the broadcast as soon as possible.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed our time.
God bless you. And, of course, the Mormon practice of polygamy finds its genesis, as just mentioned, in the teachings and practices of Joseph Smith, who in 1843 received an eternally binding revelation, which is codified in Doctrines and Covenants 132. You can read about all of this in the Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, the booklet which I'll sign to you, as well as send you memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage, the flip chart, and the DVD for your gift of $100 or more. Check all this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Remember, it is our responsibility to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us as Christians. We are citizens of the city of God, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. This is an opportune time to be just that. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. Plus, a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.